And now we come at last to the auditor's report. Our auditor is Ross Wisdom, and he said, you have an hour if you'd like it, Ross, but if you only want to take 40, that's at your discretion. Is there somebody here from the audit committee who might want to, well, I'll just leave it to you. So it's your show for the next 40 minutes to an hour.
Hello.
Hello.
Not yet.
Okay. I am pleased to report that the annual audit for the year ended September 30th, 05, has gone very well this year, primarily due to an excellent job done by the National Office accounting staff. From the start, we found the books up to date and generally in good shape. We received the requested audit schedules early on in our audit process. And specifically, Alvin Yip in that department prepared this year consolidating lead sheets, which helped us and saved time. So, and this is something you've never heard me say before, I do expect our fees to come in lower, towards the lower part of the range that we quoted. We quoted a range of $55,000 to $65,000 for the audit fee, and it should come in closer to the $55,000 level. Unless there are major changes in staff or systems, that fee could go a little bit lower the next audit round, because each year the accounting staff is getting better at getting together what we need, and it's been going smoother, and the systems have been in better shape. Let's see. So to sort of recap in terms of the audit fees, 2 years ago, when there was a change in accounting staff, a change in accounting systems, and a change in the location of the accounting office, the audit fees were up around $85,000. The year after that, the audit fees were down at $65,000. And then in this year that we're doing right now, we're anticipating getting them down close to $55,000. So there's been considerable improvement on that. I also think this is the first time in the history of this organization that all of the audit reports, the CPB reports, the federal tax returns and state tax returns should all be completed and filed by February 15th without the need for any extensions. So the organization is to be congratulated. That's definitely a team effort. My purpose here, right. My purpose here is to also address any questions you may have in order to understand the draft of the audit report. Aside from a few minor typos and minor corrections, this should be the report that is issued. And also address the accounting systems and internal control procedures that generated these numbers to give you that understanding. First, let's look at the financials.
Ross, before you do that, can we be told where in the booklet the audit report is?
Yes, it's under the CFO section. Actually, it wasn't broken out in a separate section. I just saw this book recently today, but I believe I saw it under Section 5 in the back of Section 5.
The item that says final draft?
Says final draft, correct.
So it's a different color paper, and it's the lot thick document at the end of the CFO report.
Each page is marked final draft, so if you see that, you're on the right section. Going to the audit report, just a few key figures. The total revenue at $16.9 million is up about The audit committee was not involved. I understand it could not meet its quorum. I was never, other than since the prior audit, in which I was on a conference call with the audit committee, during this audit process, there was virtually no communication until recently, which was an indirect memo that I believe you have from the audit committee. I have given a detailed response that you have in your email inbox, as well as a copy I think has been distributed, and I'll be glad to comment on any of those details. But I would like to comment on the duties and responsibilities of an audit committee and perhaps clarify some of its scope and mission. Essentially, the audit committee should be looking at accounting policies and procedures and compliance throughout the year. It should be involved in the financial reporting process. This organization is one of the few organizations that has a great deal of transparency and posts a lot of detailed financial information up on its website. The audit committee should be involved in the review of those financials before they're posted to be sure that they're accurate and fairly presented. Also, the audit committee is best positioned to well serve the organization in issues that really relate to interdivisional audit issues, whether it be with central services or it be with these interdivisional loan accounts, et cetera. Those are really not organization-wide audit issues that concern my audit report. They are internal audit issues that would require some board authority to resolve in, if there is a conflict. And that would be a function that they could constructively get involved with, as well as the engagement and the communication with the independent auditor. Those are my comments, and I'd be glad to entertain questions either about the financials, the numbers, or the audit committee, or the accounting systems and procedures.
I have a question.
Don, LaVarne, and then Ken.
Well, thank you very much, because you brought a lot of good news to the board, and we appreciate what you're doing. Mm-hmm. My question is, you give pretty high marks to internal controls at the five stations. Do you actually go to the stations and do any auditing on site, or is your auditing basically at the national office level?
Okay, fair question. First of all, let me respond to the high marks. I'm not giving a report card on internal controls.
No.
I'm simply commenting on anything that I find, and I didn't find anything significantly amiss. Having said that, yes, we do apply audit procedures at the station level. Sometimes we do that physically present. Sometimes we do that sort of remote access entry through the national office where we've made requests for documents. For example, when we do our test of transactions, the national office is usually making those requests for the documents, and we are checking and verifying to source documents and the accounting records, but we're not interacting with the station personnel directly. And sometimes we do, we've visited KPFK, KPFA, and WPFW and WBAI. The only station we have not visited is KPFT, but they're on the list.
Okay, so. Could I just do one quick follow-up? I want to correct myself. You're absolutely right. You did not give high marks. You just reported that you had no negatives to report at this time.
Exactly.
In your opinion, do you think it would be beneficial to have greater audit involvement at the station level with that, rather than relying on reports that come out of the stations to you? Do you think, or do you believe that the audit process is adequate right now at the station level?
Well, if I didn't believe it was adequate, you wouldn't be getting a clean audit report.
Yeah, that's right.
But do I think it's perfect? No. And I think it requires, like anything, it requires management and attention. And I don't think it's getting sufficient attention at the station level. Certain stations are excellent. They do everything properly. Other stations are not terrible, but some of their work has to be brought up to the national office to be redone, basically. Now, once it's been redone and then we've verified and checked, we're able to give you a fine report. But during the year, you need some internal audit function. That's why I'm making that recommendation.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair.
Pardon me. LaVarne.
Thank you. I would like to thank you for the audit report. I think this is last year it was delivered in April, and this is January. So congratulations mm-hmm. to our auditor and our finance staff Lonnie Hicks. And just what we were talking about, you were making comments about internal auditing and controls, and I know one of the opportunities that we have is on in terms of audits of physical equipment audits, like, and just what are your recommendations on that, and the whole set of procedures that go with that, like asset tags.
Sorry, like asset tags.
Tags.
Oh, tags.
Tags.
Yes.
I'm sorry, it's the cold.
Okay. The new thing, which I've recommended to the accounting staff recently, is barcoding. And okay, I guess it's not that new, but you can apply that to physical asset inventories, and that would be a very good thing, both for taking inventory and for reordering.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, just a follow up. And your recommendation on a physical asset inventory?
I would recommend that you do go to some tag system or a barcoding system. I think that would be a good idea.
On an annual, biannual?
Annual.
Annual basis. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And then Patty.
I have two questions. The first is kind of a follow-up of what Don was asking you. I'm also interested in the question of increasing audit, internal auditing at the station level. I'd like you to, if you could, describe what that might look like. I'm a little bit unfamiliar with the process, and I'd like to know if you could just give me kind of a layman's description of what internal auditing at the station level might be comprised of.
Okay.
I have another question, too.
Okay. It's comprised of two functions. You could sort of call it spot checking as one function, and the other function would really fall under the area of training and development and developing policies and procedures at that local level, sort of a training manual of how to do things, and then monitoring for compliance. The spot checking function could include, among other things, being the first one to open up a bank statement and looking at the cancellations and endorsements on the checks, taking a look at exactly how funds are collected and recorded, if there's a separation of duties in that process, independently verifying to other information from the on the subscription side, et cetera. Certain audit procedures on a spot check basis.
Yes. Thank you. That's very helpful. The second thing was I had been asking Lonnie this question earlier. I'm concerned about the residual debt from the legal expenses that were accumulated some years ago and the need to at some point completely retire those expenses. I'm asking if you can give us a timetable estimate for at what point we could expect those to finally fall off the table completely so that they would no longer be carried on our books as residual debt.
Okay, good question. Some of those have been settled and resolved. Some are sitting on the books that are not written off because there was an invoice at the time. They may have been written off on the other party's books. We don't know that. But until one of two things happens, either the passage of time via a statute of limitations that party is no longer able to collect,
What is that statute of limitations?
Well, in New York, it's 6 years. I believe in the district it's three, but this organization is registered in almost every state now, so probably 6 years is the governing period of time. Secondly, a lot of those, and just as valid, really, is if you have acceptable general defenses to an invoice, then if I had a memo from an attorney telling me that their likelihood of collecting against this invoice is practically nil, that would be a basis for me to write it off. But I just can't write it off because management would like to write it off. I have to have a basis to do that.
I guess what I'm asking you is, in what year would you anticipate that we can expect that these will no longer appear on our balance sheet?
Well, I would say certainly by 07.
Thank you. That's all I need to know. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Patty.
Thank you very much. Three things. One's very quick. When will we get the final report, not the draft?
You'll have everything by February 15th.
Okay, thanks. Okay, two items on page 11. the donated services of volunteers. If we set up any kind of process for that, would that help us financially in any way?
Is your question...
The donated services and volunteers. No amount has been included for volunteer support. Donated and contributed are for services and volunteers. Anything like that? Is that any help to us that we...
It's not an acceptable general accounting practice to record a value for donated services from volunteers. No nonprofit organization does that. You are allowed to record for professional services on a pro bono basis or technical services such as computer advice, where you're basically invoiced based on their going rates and hours, and then that invoice is waived and contributed. That you can book. You can't book the volunteers. The volunteers also would not play into the CPB grant calculation.
Right.
So
but
that's why.
Okay. So, but we don't do the former either.
Patty, can I just add to that? What about in-kind donations? Does that play into the CPB grant? If we got legal services for free, for example, and booked that as an in-kind donation, does CPB give us money in exchange for that?
I don't believe so, because it's not listener support, and you would be recording if to book it, you would be recording a contribution, you're recording a legal expense on the books. But I don't think that would count with CPB, though. Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
One more. On that same page, concentration of credit risk, you're saying that FDIC insures is up to $100,000, yet we have a excess of $2.2 million in the same bank. So do you have any recommendations on that?
Yes, we've made this recommendation before. You can either spread your banking relationships around so you have everything under the $100,000 limit, which is cumbersome, or you could engage one or more brokerage firms where the accounts there are insured up to $200,000. However, you can buy what's called excess coverage, which they charge you a small premium, and then they insure the funds for you. So that's an investment relationship, and that would go, I guess, either to the finance committee or perhaps an investment committee. Lonnie has also made that, I think, suggestion before.
I have a couple questions, but I'll go last if nobody else. Does anybody else have anything further?
I'd just like to thank Ross. We're fortunate to have several rather detailed conversations with him while I was at the national office. And I had to tell him that I was shocked at how superbly talented that office was, and he concurred. So I just wanted to pass it on to the rest of the board. It's
and that's Lynn Magno, Alvin Yip, Ben Garcia, and who was the fifth person besides Lonnie Hicks?
Alvin Yip.
Alvin Yip. I said Alvin Yip.
Donna Gates. Donna Gates. It is a remarkable department. It is one of the best I've seen. It wasn't always that case.
Steve?
I'd just like to comment, much as I appreciate all the information in the report, I have difficulty processing the volume of material that's in the board packets when I only see it the morning that I arrive. And so I don't feel that I really have enough time to review the information and ask the questions that I'm really required to ask. And I know how hard it is to get the material done on time, much less early, but I, for one, would appreciate it. I'd appreciate it if we could get the material in advance. So we would at least have the option of looking at it before we arrive. That's a general point directed at management, not at Mr. Wisdom.
So if no one else has, then will indulge me to ask several questions. The first thing is, you mentioned an internal, I'm sorry? Oh, you'd like to respond to that? Okay, could we do that at the end of the audit thing? And the the issue of internal auditing, our former, I think she was chair of the audit committee, Donna Warren, had suggested that we have that we hire a person who would be an internal auditor who would go to all the stations. Do you feel that that's an advisable thing to us, for us to contemplate for the, obviously not this year, but over time? Is that a useful position or is that overkill? And that person would be doing more than just financial auditing, but other types of auditing as well.
Well, I am recommending more activity in that area, and that you formalize that function. If you formalized it with one individual, I certainly would commend that. I think the finance accounting staff is probably not going to be able to incorporate very much of that as it is. Although they're pretty efficient, I don't know that they could take on too much of it. So, but I would have to defer that question to Lonnie as to what the need is and how it could be done.
Okay. We don't need to do that right now. I'd just like to, while we're paying for his time, I'd like to go ahead.
Just a quick comment. You know, when the board packet is late, and there are lots of reasons, the reports don't get to us on time. What I did do is I sent out a week before this board meeting by email the draft audit, the financials, the CFO report, everything that you have in this board pack from me, we sent it out a week ago.
Okay, thank you. I understand that it's common practice to rotate auditing firms after a certain period of time. I don't know when we'll be doing that with your firm and rotating to another firm. How much longer in the cycle will you be our auditor?
There is no formality for that, except with government accounting practices, which require a rotation every 4 years or every 8 years.
Okay, we're not bound
subject
by
to the what's called the Yellow Book guidelines. If you wish to rotate auditors, you certainly can do that whenever you choose, but there's no requirement for
okay,
that.
Good. Well, that had to do with my next question, because I wanted to know, you've met with the interim executive director. Have you had an opportunity to meet with the new executive director and get him up to speed on these things, or will you? Is that planned?
I've met with Greg briefly earlier today. We have not had any extensive conversations yet.
And the last, and well, there's two actual points. We were told a while ago, if I recall, by Lonnie, that the auditors were recommending that as the budget expands, that it's also advisable to expand the size of the finance staff. And I remember the rule of thumb was with each additional $1 million, you might need an additional person. What is the level of strain on our current staff, and do we need to contemplate, as our budgets grow, adding additional people at the national office? Or are the people at the local stations adequate to help carry that load as it expands?
Okay, I can't comment real precisely on that. I'm not as familiar with it as Lonnie is. Let me just state that from my experience as the auditor, the financial staff, although they've been working plenty of overtime, they seem to be able to get the job done very well. It would certainly help if things were done a little better at some of the stations. That would lighten the load at the national office, because they're often having to do, let's say, a bank reconciliation that should be done at the local station, or re-enter transactions that were entered incorrectly, that sort of thing. So I would focus on the training and development at the local level.
Okay. And then the last thing has to do with the reserve. You said we have 1.8, was it, working capital now?
Right.
And we have an ongoing discussion on the Finance Committee about reserve requirements and policies and such. And other members of the committee, some of the treasurers, I think, who aren't here, Casey McFall, our treasurer, says in other organizations they shoot for 3 months' worth of working capital.
Right.
And one of the questions I've asked is, well, although there's a drive to generate surplus each year in each station's operations, at some point we want to be able to invest that money in research and developing new services for our listeners. What would you recommend as a good target for a stable, ongoing working capital reserve, and how fast should we get there relative to spending any surpluses on developing new services?
That's a very good question. I did state that the working capital is adequate. I didn't use any superlatives to describe the working capital, because 1.5 months could become problematic. This is an organization that has 50% salaries, benefits of its revenue stream. If that revenue stream has a hiccup for whatever reason, it's very difficult to cut the salary level or to even keep it from increasing. So you're going to need a little breathing room, and working capital gives that to you to develop other sources of funding, go in new directions. You've got technology changes going on. That's a good question. The best way to address it is the way Lonnie has been looking at it, by putting the numbers up on the board, planning ahead, and then you keep managing against a budget, and you can say at some point, all right, we think we can devote some resources and take it out of the working capital if we have to.
Well, I'm not asking to take money out of working capital. I guess what I'm asking is, let us say this year, let us say that our surplus is going to be, I think it was $700,000, short of a 1 month worth of surplus, but so that should expand working capital by, if we meet our goals, by $700,000. Now, we can sock that in the bank and say that's our, we're going to keep that as working capital, or we can say some portion of that will be invested towards developing new services, and ultimately serving new communities may be a better way of raising revenues and saving for guarding against a rainy day than however much money we could save, because if we're dealing with long-term trends in radio of decline, then we need to build up services in other areas, and that takes some investment. So my question was really, let us say that we get $700,000 surplus at the end of the year and our $1.8 million's working capital is intact. What portion of that, or at what rate, do you think it's reasonable to add to working capital and keep growing that account versus being able to make investments in other areas?
Well, Lonnie's better able to address this than I am. If you pressing me for an answer, I would say let's have 2 months of working capital. That would be my answer. And you can also revisit this topic, of course, each year.
So. Okay, thanks. Go ahead, Laverne.
Thank you. Second round. Just wanted to comment or ask more questions. You had said that perhaps some of the stations do not know how to do bank reconciliations, and then back to the internal auditing and controls and policies and procedures. And I believe Lonnie has developed a manual that we're going to look at. But one of the other things that we had talked about in a finance committee was just to have, during one of the PNB meetings, to have the treasurers and the business managers meet with the finance committee and any other PNB members that wanted to attend, so we could really look at what are the skills. And the other aspect of, in terms of at the stations, is the stations that are able to actually allocate the expenses to programming, administrative, mm-hmm. and to those areas, so that that load would not be on the national office. So I guess that's more of a comment. You can make a comment on it.
I fully agree. That's exactly right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for all your work and useful information. And last question, do you meet regularly with the audit committee during the year, or is it only at audit time? When do you meet with that committee, or when would you?
I am always available to the audit committee. I am not aware of them having any meetings with a quorum. I was not invited to anything. I had no communication.
And would you be billing for the time with the audit committee? Because
yes.
some of the committees, okay. So we would want to call you at a particular moment, because it's sometimes the approval of the agenda could eat a couple of hours of your time. So.
Right. Well, let me just state for those who don't know, we're one of the few firms that I know of that offers a discount rate for nonprofits. So my particular billable rate is $200 for nonprofits. Mm-hmm. It's $300 for standard rates. And our staff also has lower rates. So at the last audit, we averaged about $150 rate per hour, and it involved 435 hours for the audit work. Next year, I think the time will be less, because things keep improving. So
okay.
I wanted to throw that in.
Yeah. Okay, I just didn't want you to spend your time sitting on a call while people take minutes and approve agendas.
Okay.
Thanks very much.